Well, if you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4, beginning verse 35. Mark 4 and 35. Good to be in God's house. Mark 4, 35. If you're physically able, would you stand with me all over his house to share his word? Mark 4, 35. And really, if I had to title this message, it's in the first sentence here. It's the statement where it says the same day. So we're going to look at the same day this morning. And verse 35 says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he said to them, let us pass over into the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Dear God, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, that in the midst of a life that can be full of storms and trouble, that you truly are the master. Truly, Lord, there is no peace. There is no calm apart from you. And Lord, we believe this morning that when your word says that it's possible in the midst of a storm to have a great calm, we believe that's true, even the storms of our life. And Lord, I pray your anointing might be upon my lips and my mind and the mind and heart of each of us, Lord, as we simply want to hear from you this morning, that your spirit might have its way with us, Lord, that you might hide me behind the cross, Lord, that I might decrease, Lord, that you might increase, that each of us, Lord, that our troubles, our worries, our challenges, our problems, but even our blessings, Lord, might grow dim in the light of your glorious presence, Lord, that we might, Lord, come this morning, Lord, desiring to be transformed, Lord, as we've been conformed so often during this week to our own way, to the ways of this world. We might be transformed, Lord, by you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, it's kind of difficult sometimes to think about, and we've been looking for some Sundays now about joy. The statement is made in John 15, verses 10 through 12. I'll read it to you again. Where the Bible says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then in verse 11, this mighty statement is made. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. For me as a pastor, and I know oftentimes for you as a Christian, that can be some difficult words in the Bible. Those aren't words that we can just casually read over and just smile and maybe raise the hand, celebrate, and say it's true. Because the reality of this world, the circumstances of life, the things that are happening or don't happen, can often make us question and say, joy, that there's a joy in this circumstance, preacher, even God, how can I have a joy? We understand, we've been looking at how it is his joy, it's something apart from the world and apart from anything we can work up. It's a fact that he says that there's a joy that he wants us to have, his joy that's a joy that can be full, paints the picture of then there is something that can empty us, amen, can empty us of the joy. But I'm reminded when I stand to preach a message like this morning and to think about what we're going to look at in Scripture, to realize I look at many of you and I think of recently just things you shared in life, just stories of how there's been a terrible physical thing that's happened in someone's life. It may be a stroke, a heart attack, just cancer's come, and the question begins, but joy in this, peace and calm, and we have the question of how can it be? Some of you have been fighting physical illness, spiritual trouble, mental challenges for things years and years, and you may be very tired this morning, and you may be questioning and saying, joy, yes, there seems to be some joy missing. Yes, there's glimpses of joy. But how do we understand, how God has described, how can we understand better that there is really a joy? And I joked at Marty this morning. He was upstairs and working around, as many of you, and I'm so thankful for everybody that all that happens during the week and on Sunday morning to make things happen. He's working around. He said, well, I'm going to go down and be teaching in the class downstairs. Aaron, Mike's out of town. I'm going to be teaching for them. Now, hear me very clearly. I was just joking. I said, well, Marty, that's good. You go down and you try to straighten that crowd out down there. He looked at me very quickly and he said, can't do it, preacher. He said, ain't no way one Sunday school lesson I can do it in that. And I said, well, Marty, just be like the preacher. I said, get up one Sunday morning with the message it has, you're going to do that Sunday, and turn it into four parts. Amen? So I don't know if they'll have you back later. I'm sure Aaron will be back next week. But I'm reminded as we began this journey back at the beginning of the year, we're looking at the idea of the power of God. And I'm continually reminded, I will remind you that's where we started, because that's what God desires for us to experience, y'all, is His power in our daily lives. And if you would, look back there in that verse 35, I mentioned the same day. So if you would this morning, and I want you to leave, if no other thought, this idea of the importance of a day and what's going on in this same day, and then think about, for you very specifically, on this same day, today. Or maybe it's a story you'll tell later. It's Wednesday of this coming week, and you'll be talking, Tony, of something that was happening. The morning maybe started out normal, and then all of a sudden, on the same day. We think about that often, don't we? What can happen in a day? So what we need to realize, in the same day of our worst troubles, our worst depression, our worst defeats, our most questioning God, God has really, for me, the more I study this, has those words jump out on the page. We looked last Sunday, and what the interesting thing about this same day was, if you read in the chapter early, there's a time of teaching. There's teaching that's going on. Jesus is teaching, and he's sharing with them. He's teaching them the things that they need to know that day, and we find that specifically that on that very same day, after he's teaching, a test is coming. The storm's a test. So we saw last Sunday that we desperately are in need of the teaching, amen? That's why I'm always excited. I told Scott leaving church after last Sunday, I said, man, you know, make sure to study up. I'm becoming hungry Sunday morning. I need to be taught, because I may have some tests that's coming. That's why I look at every time. We had great revival night last Sunday night, and I had some of the teaching that we received, or some things that helped me, or some testing that came the very same week, this very same week. So God deals in that way. So ever since God showed us this last Sunday, I've practically been applying. Yes, listen, I am desperate for a time of devotion. I want to get in my word early in the morning. I need a fresh word. You know, I like to read the Proverbs every day. I encourage you, if you've never tried that, there's 31 Proverbs. There's one for every day. I love the Proverbs because it speaks to our relationship with God, and the Psalms speak of a relationship with man. But I love just the practicality of the Proverbs and what God is speaking to us. I find that, I often mention Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. It's one of the devotions that's come special to me. I read it very quickly in the morning, and just how God uses that one short scripture and just a thought about it. And sometimes my mind is like that. Lisa was scurrying back to the choir, and she said, I just can't even remember where I'm supposed to be at. And I related, well, I find myself that way too. Randy had to remind me. I had in my notes, I could prove to you in my notes I had here this morning, that we've got Memorial Day recognition. I need notes. I mean, anybody need notes? Memorial Day recognition. I was going to explain Maisie and Sandro's offering. Unfortunately, I was going to do it at this time. Offer is done over. Too late. Amen? So we need early in the day. And oftentimes, when we're not careful, we're going to look back and say, and we can all look back to days, and we can think, man, how on that same very day that I'm relating something that happened or didn't happen, whether it's good or bad, that I really on that same day could have used some teaching early on in that day, that God might prepare me for the testing. And maybe that God's doing you that now. It's something to know. It's wonderful to get close to God. You may say right now that you're in a time that you're really feel like you're walking closer to God than you ever have. But the warning is, and the scripture is really telling us that really in the same time, these same days that are coming up, your teaching and your closeness, God may show you is you'll understand it much better because of the testing that's coming. Right on the next phone call, you get home today, early tomorrow, even though it's Memorial Day, something happens and we realize the testing comes. So the importance of this same day, and as I said, I'm really excited about going through this passage and working to how we understand what's happening from verse 35 down to understand how a great calm. Remember, that's one of the definitions of joy. The joy we find in the Bible, there's three pieces that word makes up. We looked at the word cheerfulness, that we have a cheer no matter the storm circumstances. We've been looking here about this calm delight in this passage, and we'll not get much far on this same day this morning, so Lord willing, next Sunday. And then the third was just the gladness. But in thinking about this calm delight and thinking about this same day, as I ran to dig in Scripture, I found really late in the week, if you would, and really even more this morning, about how there's this importance of this day that I think we miss. I heard somebody relating, I think it may have been even on a movie we were watching, but I've heard people say often that you'll go to something. Maybe you have to go to an event. It could be that you go to a movie and it's 2 hours long, or you go to a meeting and it's long, or you go to something that maybe on the surface looked like it was going to be kind of fun, but it came enduring, and you might make this statement: I'd like to have those 2 hours of my life back. Amen, John? Have we all not been in a circumstance, maybe your work, I know Randy from time to time does a lot of waiting in his business with his trucking, and how many times, Randy, would you like to have that day back? I feel like I've done nothing but sit around and wait on someone else. We find that, Tony, when you get caught up in the hospital situation, Tony was working hard, going strong. He's at church, he's at work, doing his hobbies, and all of a sudden, man, they put the stops. They put the brake on him after that heart cath, and man, we want to transfer you to the hospital. We're doing heart surgery on you. So how many times, man, I'd like to have my time back. Like I said, the joke thing was last night watching the movie, and people had gone to see a concert, a live concert or something, and the husband comments to the wife, I'd like to have those 2 hours back. But I think importantly, when we think about this same day, remember we're looking at from the teaching to the testing, how we'd often say, boy, I'd like to have some time back that I could have been a little closer to God before the testing came. Knowing we all can look back on our days, and I know all of you have busy days. It's with work, and it's with family, it's with school, and so we all look back on those times. So I began to look a little bit and think about on this same day. Here's what I want to start with. The potential of the same day we see in verse 35 is that the disciples are going from a time of teaching, a time with Jesus. Could you imagine? They're getting out. He's calling them. He's with them. So many times I find myself in life and I'm thinking, man, I need to be closer to him. Why am I here? Why am I doing this and that? Why am I going here and there? But hey, he had called them to get on the boat, to be with him, to go to the, so they were right where they were supposed to be. But the potential was that the storm was coming, and the storm was going to do what? The storm was going to cause them to fear, and we know ultimately what the storm was going to do. God says there'll be a great calm, but before that great calm comes, what often happens is we have a loss of a joy in that day. Amen? Think for a moment, actually, the things that happen in life. I don't know about y'all, but, a few words from somebody in the family, a few words at work or church or school, and I'm telling you, it can affect the whole day, right, Amanda? I mean, we a few things, a few words, we see something, and it just robs it, sucks the joy out of us. So all we've been looking at is God wants to emphasize is that's not real joy. Joy doesn't work that way, and he wants us to understand. I'm going to try to show you practically three simple things this morning and three verses in Matthew that if we'll apply them, it'll help us for a week, For there not be time that we just go with joyless and down and disturbed. And who wants us to be that way? That's what Satan wants to do. He wins so many victories and getting us focused on something that's happened on that day. It's robbed our joy. But I'm telling you, folks, I've testified before. I've had people that will tell me a story. I remember, and I can't remember what the story happened. It was neighbors. And somebody, I think, it probably had to do with land. And somebody had done something they didn't like. And they're telling me this story. And I'm thinking, my goodness, let's try to get them together. Maybe we can pray about this. This is just terrible. I'm thinking, I can't believe this happened. And then the more I hear the story, all of a sudden, it happened 25 years ago. 25 years ago. I've had people describe to me breakups in relationships. I remember one guy was telling me, he said, I had somebody at work for me. And I should have known. He kept spending time in the house with my wife, and I taught him all my stuff, and he ended up taking my wife away from me. And you think, man, that's terrible, and it's been years and years ago. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants to take our joy, and he wants to keep it. When Jesus Christ says, you have my joy, it'll be full, and it'll remain. The loss of joy. See, what happens is, worrying about what you just heard or what's happened or didn't happen, worrying about it doesn't help at all. Now, we've heard that all our life, amen? Probably most of your mom and daddy's told you that, and that's one of those simple things to say. I can remember sitting at a table eating with my family, and I remember somebody had said something to me at school, and I don't know who was it, my brother said, hey, you know, sticks and bones break my bones, words can never hurt, and I'm thinking, well, you're wrong, you know, because words can hurt. But worrying never really helps today, and worrying doesn't help tomorrow. What worry does, it robs us of our joy today. And then also what happens is, and we're thinking about, remember, they went from teaching to testing. So the circumstances are trying to rob them of their joy, but also to rob them of their effectiveness. That's what Satan will do. He wants to get your joy, get you in your relationship, get you feeling like there is no power from God, and then you're not going to be effective. You're not going to be effective in your walk with Him. You're not going to be effective at work. The worry consumes and takes over. I heard someone give the example of this. Remember Jesus Christ? Where was Jesus Christ crucified? He was crucified in the center cross between what? Two thieves. And I heard this statement as I studied, and it just is resounding in my heart now, not in my mind. It says that what we're guilty of often is we crucify ourselves on a daily basis between two thieves. And the two thieves that we crucify ourselves are on one side, it's the thief of a regret about yesterday. And then the one on the right is worry about tomorrow. Hey, am I tracking with anybody? Amen. That's where we find ourselves on a given day. Instead of being full of that joy and trying to focus on what God wants us to do, regardless of what's going on, we're right there. Man, we're regretting things. And we all have regrets. Amen. I mean, bless Chloe's heart. She's down here, and I love her spirit and her spunk, you know. And she ain't going to tell the preacher she's scared of anything. Amen. But I know we all have regrets. We all have fears and worries, things we wish that we hadn't have said, and we wish we hadn't have done, and we wish we had that time back. And then on the other hand, it's worry about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? People love to ask the preacher, you know, something's going on. What are we going to do, preacher? What's next? Hey, you can talk to the same God I do. Let's talk to Him together and let Him answer that question. Amen. We often don't, but we worry. What's going to happen next? We worry. And you know, the farther we get, I'm just telling you, there's more to worry about. Amen. Sometimes I hold my brand new granddaughter, and I'm telling you what, folks, I tell you, we just out of sorts at our house. I'm going to tell you how deep and troublesome this love has got. They out of town this weekend. Out of town. I'm telling you, we're struggling. You know when they left? About 12 yesterday. So we went over there, and we loved on Adelaide, and we held her, and we kissed her, and we just act like crazy grandparents and uncle. They ain't going to be back this afternoon. That's too long, y'all. That's too long. But I remember last week holding Adelaide, and I'm thinking, boy, you got it made. Good gracious alive. Got it made. Amen. And even in younger, got it made. Oh, got it made. I love three grandsons sitting out here. What made them? Hey, isn't God good? What made them just sit here today? Ain't nothing different we've done. We're gone. Have they ever? They just sitting here waiting on the bus. The boys just sitting there. And I'm thinking, you know, man, got it made. They don't even know how much they've got it made. But the longer we live, man, the more that comes. Amen. So we're getting work challenges, and then you get physical challenges, then you have children, and then Chase, all of a sudden, the children are having children, and I mean, man, there's a whole lot more stuff to worry about. Amen. Daddy thought you doing better. You walking better. Been praying for you this week. Pray for Chase. He hurt his foot. But, you know, I mean, a lot to worry about. Amen. I find a lot to worry about. And some of your circumstances, I mean, are just more than I can even comprehend. I'm praying for you in your situation. But, I mean, terrible things you're dealing with. So how do we not worry? Because it's very easy, you know. To don't, you know, hey, don't be worrying about that. Pray about that. Trust God. But, you know, when I know that and I believe that, and I even can tell you that, I'm practical enough, y'all, that I've got to ride down the road by myself. I got to think about my own worries. I got to think about my own regrets. I got to go over that. So, y'all, I don't ever want to be super spiritual. I don't ever want to just say, hey, do this. when I know that I've been told that in my life, and sometimes I'm praying to God saying, God, I'm worried. I'm just flat out worried right now, God. And God, I'm regretting that for some reason I keep thinking about this thing that happened. I can't get it out of my mind. And God, so how am I supposed to minister to people, stand in a pulpit on Sunday morning? And I think that's what God wants out of me as a preacher, wants out of you as a Christian, that we realize that the answer is to trust Him, to not worry. But then in the very same day the worries come, God's got a word for it. Amen. How many times do you worry? And you talk to people, and you try to get advice, and you even pray, but you're not really searching the Scriptures. Amen? I mean, be honest. And I'm the world's worst. I can lay in the bed, and I've heard people, John, this, and I've heard people talk about, man, I've heard preachers talk about, you know, I was laying in bed Saturday night. God woke me, and I came, and I've had those things happen, and God's changed my message too. But sometimes, y'all, here's the thing, here's what I do. You know what those preachers don't tell you? And you know what those super spiritual friends don't tell you about? They don't tell you about, and I'll testify, the times that I'm laying in bed, and yeah, I'm awake, but I just worry. I don't get up and get my Bible out, Miss Margaret. I don't get on my knees and pray. I don't worry, you know? You ever have been surprised how slow time goes when you worry? Haven't y'all done it? I've woke up in the middle of the night. Hey, listen, I got plenty of Bibles. I got my praise. I tell y'all about all the time I love going pray. But the problem is, y'all, we are in a spiritual battle that the Lord tells us, the Word tells us about. And we're always opportunity for teaching, and then there's always a testing that's coming, and it's a constant battle we go through. So with that in mind, you know, I mentioned just the commonplace words. Now listen, not worrying doesn't mean just to not, you know, be good stewards of what God gives you and just give up and just go out and say, hey, whatever, God. I mean, biblically, the Bible tells us that we should plan, even that we should save for the future. In 1 Timothy 5:8, the Bible says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith, and he is worse than an infidel. I didn't look up the verse. The verse in the Bible talks about if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen. In 2 Corinthians 12:14, the Bible says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours but you, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. But see, it is truly, we need to prepare. We need to do all that we're able to do, but it is, biblically, it is a sin to worry. So with that in mind, and I've been excited all morning, and I know some of you are saying, yeah, get there. I want to look at really a passage in the Bible that really can help us practically to give victory over worry. Now listen, I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to read these verses to you and I'm going to make some comments about them and it's immediately going to sap your worry away, but I am going to tell you this. It's God's teaching. It's the Word of God, and I believe in your circumstance, in any circumstance you're dealing with, I believe this Word, as the Bible says, will not return void. Amen? And I believe it is possible that if God wants to give us victory over worry, He's going to show us how to do it. So with that in mind, turn with me just back shortly, not far back in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, when we look in verse 30 through verse 34, I'm going to give you three things that really, they're very basic, but I was reminded as I looked at them how often I fail to do them in the worry that I experienced myself. So we're thinking about victory over worry. So listen, in the context we're looking at from back that verse 35 is on the same day, remember, the same day you have worry, then on the same day we can do this. So read with me in Matthew 6, beginning verse 30, the words of Jesus, wherefore if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, that same day, is the evil thereof. Now we'll get that for a moment. Now this contains in this passage the verse that we pull out and we have our word seeking him first. We're going a little deeper today, a much better background. So remember, as you read this verse, If you take it alone apart from the Bible, you're thinking, okay, well, God will take care of everything. I'll just kind of go out and do what I want to do. No, remember, I've already shared the verses with you that says you need to plan, you need to put back, you need to be a good steward of what God gives you. But what God is trying to say here, really, I think in there's three verses, in verse 30, in verse 32, in verse 33, God gives us three things. You can write them down or you can just highlight them in your Bible. But listen, these are the three things that if you'll make a focus of it, listen, during this time of teaching, keep it with you before the worry comes. But if you're like me and miss it, keep coming back to this. Here's three things that we can win victory over. The first one is found in verse 30. Look in verse 30 with me, and there's a word there at the very end of the verse. And what's that word? The word is faith. Faith. So in order to have victory in times of worry, times of challenge, we're going to have faith. Now, what faith simply means, that we're trusting God that he's going to meet our needs. Now, you still got to get up and go to work. I'm not advocating that you lay in bed tomorrow morning and not go to work or not go to school. But what I'm telling you is we must truly have faith that God is going to meet the needs. And if we have faith that God's going to meet the needs and I do my part, I'm going to do my part to be in his word, to serve him, be in his church serving him. I'm going to be going to work or going to school. Whatever God's got me, I'm going to be doing that. But I'm ultimately having faith that it's not me, it's not my work, it's not anybody, it's not the boss at work, it's not anything else that's going to give me the money and supplies I need. It's going to be who? It's going to be God. And if we have faith that God's going to do it, then I tell you what that does, that will drive worry out quicker than anything else. But just as quick, listen, this is, you can drive with faith, with looking at these verses, remembering them and praying, you can drive faith right out of your heart's door, but it's kind of like you can drive them out the back door of your house, and if you're not careful, you leave that front door unlocked, and that worry is going to run around the house and come right back in the front door. Amen? Had it happen? I mean, with the very same day that we're talking about, I can go from worry to great faith and trusting him to there comes worry again. So what's the key? Got to continue, go back, and deal with the fact of, do we really have faith in God? I mean, do we really have faith that he'll meet the needs? And listen, we often, without the breath of life, you're not getting to work. I'm not getting here to preach. You're not going a step further. Without the heartbeat, we trust him for those things that we don't even think about. Can we not trust him that he really means what he says in these verses, that he will provide and he'll drive worry away? But it's the key to our faith. But the second word, it's found in verse 32. The second word in verse 32 is simply, look at that word. We had faith in verse 30. In verse 32, we had the word Father. We have the word Father. See, the picture of Father here is knowing that we have a Father that cares for his children, really in a way that we can't really even fathom or understand. Now you know as a father how much you care for children. As a grandfather, as a grandmother, as a mom, you know this care, and you want the best. And because of that, you begin to worry about different things in life and about future. But what we need to remember is we have a father, and our children and grandchildren and our friends and our church family and our work family, they have a father too. A father who cares about his children, and that the love that surpasses all understanding, a love so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for us, a love that is just, it's never ending, a love that's always flowing, a love that, listen, you have a father that he, don't forget this, when worry comes, we have a father that not only cares about us, but he wants the best for us. And every one of us can say, but I don't understand God, I don't understand how this happening in my life, in my family, to someone, I cannot understand God, how that can be the best. But y'all, all we have and all we need is to go back to the very first one. We got to have faith that he is there and he does care about it. And have faith that the Father really is the Father. And we might not be able to see what's going on, but he is doing something in those circumstances that he really does want the best for us. And then the third one is simply this. It's found in verse 33. It's the word that I mentioned often. It's down here on the right, but the third word is the word first. Putting God first in our lives, he might be glorified. Y'all, I haven't got that figured out, Katie. I haven't got that figured out. Ralph, I haven't got that, you know. I've got it down here. I believe in it. I talk about it almost every Sunday. I believe that we need to seek him first. I believe he needs to be first. Most every one of you here would talk about how you want God to be first in your life, and you want family to be second, and you want work to be third, and we talk about that. But the more I look at my life, and the more I look at lives of people around me, and especially in the context of church, I don't think he's first. I don't think he's first. You know how I come to the conclusion he's not first? I just look at my own life. I believe it. I know it. I know how important it is. I know it's the key to worry, life, my future, my family, the church. But is the way I'm thinking, how can the way I'm thinking in the part of the day, and when we're talking about on the same day, how can my thinking and my talking and my actions change so? I think it's because he's not first. I really wish people in some ways, I know this won't happen, I guess it shouldn't happen, would quit explaining to me things about their life and about church. Because so many of them, y'all, sound just like the explanations that I give to God personally when I don't put him first. And you know, I guess that's why, wait a minute, I need to keep hearing that from y'all, because I can connect it and say, God, is that how silly I sound? Do you know something I cannot stand? They record these messages. You can get it on a CD. Get it online, which is more useful now and more prevalent. But when they get on CD, every once in a while, somebody in my family would get a hold of one of those things, and they put it in the car. And I'm sure they were listening to it just to take notes, get more in depth than my deep preaching I was having that week. But to get in the car, and I get in by myself, and I cut it on, and I'd hear myself preaching, John. I don't know about you, can't stand that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear myself. I just don't feel comfortable. I see my weaknesses and flaws, and I think, oh, I don't want to hear that. But y'all, I think the only way that you and I can learn a lesson about being God first is we need to slow down. We need to do whatever it takes. You know, the big thing now is, and my mama's best one said, you better be careful wherever you go, what you're doing. Somebody's recording you. Amen. It's happening. But it's almost like, y'all, we better slow down and let God start giving us recordings and let God play back to us what we're saying and what we're doing. Because I tell you why we worry so much. Our faith is weak, just like Jesus said. We don't think of him as a father like we should. He's just not first. I want him to be first. I believe that you want him to be first. But the only way that he can be first is that we've got to realize what verse 34 says. It says, and as I read it, I read it to you, I want to give you another version of that verse, a translation of verse 34. It's this: therefore, do not be anxious tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? It's telling us, it's not a call that we worry about the trouble, that there's so much of it, but it's a call that we concentrate that there's temptations coming, there's trials, there's opportunities. We're going to rely on our Father. He's going to protect and provide. And there's enough, there's enough trouble already, amen? Then let's be worrying about tomorrow's troubles. That's what he's trying to say. Get our focus. We need to realize that what he promises for the day that he wants to give us. So ultimately what God is showing us in that Matthew passage, on the very same day, and I keep thinking of that, I had a good friend. He loved to say this, and I love to share it, and I know it's kind of corny, but I love it. He'd always say about getting angry, someone getting angry, and I don't know if he got it from his dad or somebody, but he made the statement, is you can get glad in the same pants you get mad in. Amen? I use it all the time. Now, that doesn't say that in Scripture. I think Scripture backs it up. Amen? We'd be full of Jesus, full of joy. But I think of it all the time. And so, really, I just tell you, if you get mad at me, I'm going to be praying for you, and you got to forgive me and be right with God. And the other thing I'm going to be thinking, I might not be brave enough to share it with you till later on till you calm down, but I'm going to be thinking, well, my goodness, you like me. You the same as me. I can get glad in the same pants I get mad in. I can have joy on the same day that trouble came. But the problem is, we got to focus on our faith, y'all. And we got to focus on that Father. We got to trust him, and we got to focus on putting him first. And that is something that you and I have what? Complete control of. Complete control. If he's not first in my thinking, I'm controlling what I'm thinking. If he's not first on my calendar, I'm telling you, you can say all you want to that somebody else is controlling your calendar, but I promise you one thing,
let illness. Tony, who took over your calendar that day when they transferred you to Charlotte? Did your calendar mean anything? Did work calendar mean anything? Personal calendar mean anything? Didn't mean a thing, did it? So let me ask this question. If I close with this right on time, if God's first, whose calendar is it? Oh, it's quiet now. Whose time is it? Whose money is it? So remember, and practically speaking, I confess we all have worries, so remember, faith. It's about our faith. Trusting Him, it's about our Father. He cares about you. Isn't that wonderful? And about being first. And I wanted to be first, amen. Would you bow with me? And as you bow, would you go ahead and stand with me? And let's stand up all over the church. And Lord, in standing, Lord, we're recognizing, Lord, that our desire is not just to leave and end this service, but Lord, we want to stand acknowledging, Lord, that we have worries and troubles. And we believe that it wasn't my preaching, but it was your word that wants to teach us. And Lord, there's testing coming, there's trouble now. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And first of all, Lord, I pray for that one known Jesus. In a moment, the invitation song will begin. And Lord, I pray that we'll just, the freedom be felt. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, so I pray you'll come. Let us open the scripture and let us, Lord, just show you how you can know Jesus. And you know, I even hesitate to say this, but man, thinking about the trials and troubles and the worries of this world and your lives, this altar should be full. The altar should be full. If really our faith says you are our Father who cares and we need to take a new beginning today to put you first, would you put Him first during this invitation and bow before Him and see what He'll do with your worry? Same day. What can He do on this same day? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Byron, would you begin?